This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only national golf talk radio and TV program. Presented by TaylorMade. Golf has a new game-changing number. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI 10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to learn more about the QI 10 Carbon Woods. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome inside Golf Talk Canada. Adam Scully here in studio. Bob on his way back from Florida as we speak. So he is on a plane. He'll be back with us tomorrow night as we recap the Players' Championship and Wednesday for GTC Radio as well. But now joining us on the line, he'll be with us for the full 2 hours today on the phone, Mark Sacchino. Mark, you're in Florida. Tell us where you're driving right now.
Hey, Skulls. I'm making my way from the TPC Sawgrass area on my way over to the west coast of the state. I'm heading over to the Valspar. I'll be working PGA Tour radio again. This will be my second of six events in a row between PGA Tour Live, PGA Tour Radio, TSN Television. I've got six events in a row. I've got a couple days off between now and the Valspar. And what is funny, Adam, unlike the other gentlemen on my team, my days off, which are Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I participate in our show, which is 2 hours of Golf Talk Canada radio on Monday, an hour of Golf Talk Canada television on Tuesday, and another 2 hours on Wednesday. So my days off aren't exactly days off right now, but that's where I'm going. But I have a special stop before the Valspar. And we're going to talk about it on TV tomorrow and a little bit about it on radio on Wednesday. I am making a stop at Cabot Citrus Farms. Our friends at the Cabot Group, who are obviously well-known in our country for what they've done out at Cabot Cliffs and Cabot Links out of Nova Scotia, and now have opened Cabot St. Lucia. Well, we are about to really officially cut the ribbon on Cabot Citrus Farms, and that used to be the old Worldwoods complex, about 45 minutes north of Tampa. I'm on my way there as we speak.
I'm looking forward to our full profile of Cabot Citrus Farms. You'll be able to catch that definitely on television next week, and we'll, you know, when you can hear that on radio as well. I've heard rave reviews from Cabot Citrus Farms. A couple of the people I was with, Mark, in Portugal have already played Cabot Citrus Farms, and they absolutely loved it. Well, busy show today. Players Championship recap. We'll take a deep dive into Scottie Scheffler getting it done again. We'll discuss the Canadians, who all finished pretty well, but we'll discuss if it's an over par or under par week for the Canadians. Plus, PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan will join the show. Bob chatted with Jay this past Friday all about all things that have gone on the PGA Tour. It's been a crazy time, to say the least. But let's kick things off with some news and some headlines.
News and headlines are brought to you by Sandbagger Hard Seltzer. Sandbagger. Everybody knows one.
Well, we're in mid-March. It is the flagship event of the PGA Tour season. It is the Players' Championship. And boy, oh boy, Mark, down the stretch, the dramatics, it did not disappoint. Before we discuss Scottie Scheffler in particular, this was the best finish we've seen on the PGA Tour since perhaps Nick Taylor at the RBC Canadian Open last year. What do you think?
Yeah, I sent out a tweet last night. I said, you know, observations from the Players' Championship, and there was a few of them in there. I think four observations as we leave the Players' Championship. But one of them, Adam, was once again, the Players' Championship delivers incredible drama down the stretch, an incredible leaderboard, huge names battling it out for the entire week. And really providing the drama, if we're being honest, that the majors have lacked for several years. I'm trying to recall the last time a major has kind of captured me the way that finish captured me. It's likely Tiger in 2019. Am I forgetting someone. But, you know, I loved Hideki's win and the symbolism of Hideki's win at the Masters. But it wasn't, you know, drama-packed. And I guess John Rahm birdieing two holes, but
yeah,
to finish at the U.S. Open. But nothing like what we saw there. I mean, to me, the majors have been flat. The Players' Championship is as good or better than any other tournament, including the majors, and it proved it once again.
It certainly proved it once again. I'm glad you mentioned John Rahm winning that U.S. Open back in 2021 because he went out and he got that. He made those two putts on the 71st and the 72nd hole, those left-to-right curlers for sure. But looking at this leaderboard, star-studded talent, guys who had played on the Ryder Cup, guys who had won, or a guy who had won an Olympic gold medal, major champions, those top four. That was a lot of fun down the stretch. And the guy who gets it done yet again makes history. That's Scottie Scheffler. And Scottie Scheffler, we spoke at length last week, the overwhelming pre-tournament betting favorite at plus 550. So winner, winner, chicken dinner. You and Bob both get victories last week. Mark, I'm not sure if you want to put pity on me for not taking Scottie Scheffler last week. But if you do, here's the floor. Go for it.
I tried, Adam. It's not that I didn't try. I did my best to try to get you to take him because I suggested last week on radio and again last week on TV that if Scottie Scheffler's figured out the putter, which I believed he did, and you know, Adam, for 8 months I've been screaming at the top of my lungs for a putter change and a real putter change, not a one round, like a four-day commitment minimum to something different. We finally got it at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and he goes out and progressively got better with the putter every day. What happened in this tournament? Similar situation. Progressively got better, seemed, with that putter every day, especially on Sunday. If the putter's going to cooperate, and he doesn't have to be the best putter in the tournament, it's just got to be not a negative. It's just got to be some type of asset, a minor asset, slightly better than average. If that's the case, I say it's not a fair fight. And it wasn't a fair fight. I mean, he lost Friday to a neck injury. He basically won this golf tournament playing three rounds of golf. Friday, he conceded that event to a neck, conceded that round to a neck injury. And he was lucky to finish that round, lucky to continue playing through the weekend. Ted Scott told his wife he thought they were going to have to withdraw. So moving forward, if Scottie Scheffler's in the field, he needs to be a pick. He needs to be on your fantasy team. He needs to be the favorite. He's on a level better than everybody else.
You know, I can't disagree with anything you said. And the reason I didn't pick him was history, because no one had ever repeated as Players' Champion. In fact, the average finish for a defending champion at the Players' Championship was 28th. So I was going on history, but clearly Scottie Scheffler is a man amongst himself right now. And you mentioned the putter. Scheffler shot an 8-under 64 on Sunday. He only gained 0.6 shots on the green. Mark, this guy was like a video game tee to green on Sunday.
He missed a 5-footer that really would have sealed it on 13, right? I mean, that putt, that birdie effort on 13 would have kind of taken everybody out, really, out of the equation. It puts him at 21 under in the clubhouse. Good luck, boys. Like, listen, I hate bringing up Tiger Woods because, historically speaking, that is an unfair level of a measuring stick to anyone. The only other person you can have in a conversation with Tiger Woods and have a realistic, honest conversation is Jack Nicklaus. Everybody else, see ya. That being said, just to give some perspective to what, you know, Scottie is doing, from a ball-striking position, statistically speaking, the only human being in the modern era that has accumulated these types of ball striking numbers, strokes gained off the street, tee, strokes gained approach, etc. Woods, that's the only other person you can put in this conversation for someone who has done it now for three consecutive years. Yesterday, he became the only person to be the reigning U.S. Open champion And sorry, the reigning, excuse me, the what am I looking for here?
Masters.
I mean, he became.
Masters.
Oh no, there was two players. Excuse me, he became.
I think we might have lost Mark there. Yes, I think we'll try to get Mark back on the phone now. It seems like Mark was dropping out just as he was about to make a brilliant comment, a remark about Scottie Scheffler. But it really is remarkable when you look back and think about this run Scheffler has been on. In his last 26 starts, 4 wins, which obviously is very impressive, 17 top five finishes. 17 top five finishes and 21 top 10 finishes for Scottie Scheffler. It is mind-boggling, to say the least, how impressive this guy has been on the PGA Tour as of late. And yes, the putter change made a big difference for him. And as Mark was talking about before his connection cut out, we spoke at length last year how tee to green, it was a remarkable season. It was an historic season. It was Tiger in 2000. It was that good tee to green. But once he got on the greens, it was a totally different story. And now that it appears Scheffler has figured out the putter a little more anyway, I mean, look out. 2 wins in about 8 days. He's made $8.5 million U.S. We have Mark now on the line. Mark, we dropped out just as you were about to tell us some brilliance about Scottie Scheffler in regards to history. Am I right about that?
Yeah, sorry about that, Scully. I mean, okay. You know what? We're very lucky because you and I were talking about weather for the Players' Championship and how we were going to get this huge break and the weather was finally going to be, you know, really great for a Players' Championship. It's a good thing we finished on Sunday because a monster storm has hit Florida and screwing up cell signals, screwing up Wi-Fi, internet. I mean, it is dark and it is coming hard across most of the state today. So it's a good thing we got that proper Sunday finish in place. No, I was just saying how historic this is. And when you start doing things in the same sentence as Tiger Woods, it's very impressive. But at the same time, Adam, we got to be careful, right? Because it's an unfair measuring stick. You know, ask Rory, I guess, to a certain extent, how unfair the measuring stick can be. And I know we'll probably talk a little Rory, obviously, at some point today. But, I mean, keep things in perspective. But I will say this. I would love to find out from Bob, and I will ask you, knowing what we know now, knowing $8.5 million in the last 8 days, knowing the putter looks like it's going to, you know, hang around the positive side of strokes gain. Not going to be the best putter on the PGA Tour. Doesn't have to be. 2 wins right now, long season ahead. Over under, I'm going to give you 5 wins. Scottie Scheffler, you got the over, you got the over, you got the over, you got the under, or you like the push.
Are we saying 5 more wins from here,
no,
or 5 wins total?
5 wins total.
Ooh, over. Over.
I do too. I got it over too.
It has to be. It has to be. And even, and we're going to take a deep dive into this on television this week with Bob when he's back on Wednesday too. But, you know, there's a lot of talk, you know, watching Scottie Scheffler play, and the term dominance comes up. Mark, you've covered this game for quite some time. Who, Scottie, fill in, answer this question for me. Scottie Scheffler is the most dominant player since? Who's that?
I'm going to say, if we're just talking about like a season, I'm going to say since, what year was it? 2015, Jordan Spieth's, year where he kind of won, I believe 5 or 6 times.
Masters.
But the difference between Jordan and Scottie is Jordan did it with his putter. He did it by making 50-foot putts that nobody else should ever make. And it was a hot streak for Jordan. It was an incredible run for Jordan. This is different. This is ball striking machine robotic. You know what it reminds me of, Adam? It reminds me of Vijay Singh. When Vijay Singh got to number one in the world in the early 2000s, when Tiger Woods was at the peak of his superpowers, Vijay, not for a period in time, knocked Tiger off the perch. When Tiger decided he was going to change his swing again for no apparent reason, and allowed VJ to kind of get to number one in the world and be the most dominant player. VJ won a ridiculous amount of times that season. Off the top of my head, I'm going to say 9. It might even have been 10. I'd have to go back and look. But he got the number one in the world, and he won like 9 times that year. And VJ, as you know, was never the best putter on the PGA Tour. I don't think anybody would ever accuse VJ Singh of being the best putter on the PGA Tour. But ball striker, hard worker, living on the driving range, answers in the dirt, just kept, you know, hitting it on the dime for 2 years. This is more to me like a VJ Singh type of dominance, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a pretty good comparable too. And VJ Singh, 2004, 9 wins, 18 top tens, and to put the money conversation into context, he won just under $11 million for the entire season. Scottie Scheffler's won $8.5 million. Oh, in just the last 8 days. Not a big deal. I'm going to answer this question too, Mark. And you know me, I've been, you know, whenever this guy's in the mix at a major championship, it's hard not to pick this guy, bet against this guy, maybe not root for this guy, depending on who you are. But Brooks Koepka, I mean, when you win 4 majors in an 8-major span, in my mind, that is dominance. You could look at last year, John Rahm, those 4 wins consecutively. But the thing about Scheffler, too, and we'll get Bob's perspective on that answer, too, both on television and radio this week. But for Scheffler, it's like when he holed out on the 4th hole for that unlikely eagle, because you have to get some breaks to shoot 64 the way he did, it's almost like, you know, Schauffele and Clark started missing putts. They started missing green. Schauffele, those back-to-back bogeys on the second 9. It's like Scheffler has this aura, Mark, where intimidating is not the right word, but it's like the rest of the leaderboard sensed this guy was coming up, and clearly the guy got it done.
Yeah, I think he's got a very good reputation now of being able to close golf tournaments. So we can all agree on that this guy tends to close them well. When he has a chance to win, very rarely does he gag it. We've seen it before. I saw it at Colonial a couple of years ago with my own eyes. So it's not that it's never been done. But overall, he's a very good closer. So you're right. It's not the intimidation factor. It's not like that Tiger presence of intimidation. What it is, I believe, Adam, is the hard realization of other guys in the PGA Tour that Scottie Scheffler is just simply going to keep putting positive yardage on the board, which means you've got to go get it. You can't expect him to give it to you. So that realization forces guys, I think, to make mistakes. So it's a different type of presence than Tiger, but the end result is very similar. It's just a matter of fact that some guy, and that's why I got to hand it to Wyndham Clark. I mean, he did not have his A game, and he was backing out of that golf tournament quickly, but shoots at the flag on 16, shoots at the flag on 17, shoots on the flag again at 18. I don't know how that golf ball didn't go in on 18. At least Wyndham Clark decided, okay, Scotty's certainly not giving this to us. In fact, he's in the house already. I'm just going to fire at everything. And for that matter, Schauffele almost did the same thing. But you're right. There is a presence there that the guys are certainly aware that there's no gifts that are going to be handed out.
Yeah, no gifts going to be handed out as well. And we could get into the health of Scottie Scheffler. And Mark, you mentioned Ted Scott, how he spoke after the round yesterday, how he didn't think Scottie Scheffler was going to play the weekend, and how Scottie Scheffler gutted out that Friday, that 69 he shot in Friday, second round, where it looked like he was really having a hard time bending over, picking the ball out of the hole, taking the club back. It was a lot of fun to see Scottie Scheffler get it done. Now, before we go to break here, Mark, was there one shot in particular that really stood out to you from Scottie Scheffler on Sunday?
You know, unfortunately, I was with Wyndham Clark. Not unfortunately, but I was with Wyndham Clark for pretty much 4 days, with the exception of some time on Thursday and Friday with Nick Taylor, where I did double duties because they were on opposite sides of the draw. So I got to call Taylor and Clark. You know, I can't. I'm just trying to go through it in my mind, Adam. And I, obviously the hole out on four, but that's a bonus. But that's the one. That hole out on four probably ignites his entire day.
Yeah, it certainly ignited the entire day, especially after starting par, par, par two, par the par 5 seconds. Scottie Scheffler gets it done. For me, it's the tee shot on the par four 12th, the drivable par four, 326 yards long. Scottie Scheffler hit it 20 feet. He was exactly pin high, gave the eagle putt a run, ran it by about 3-4 feet, made the birdie comebacker. Scottie Scheffler defends his title as the Players Champion. When we come back here on GTC, we're going to hear from Scottie Scheffler all about how he got it done to win for the second straight week. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by TaylorMade and the new QI10 Carbon Woods. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today.
Welcome back inside GTC. Adam Scully here in studio. Mark will be back in our next segment as we continue to recap the Players' Championship. Scottie Scheffler, the first ever player to successfully defend his title at TPC Sawgrass. Now, heading into the final round, Scheffler was 5 shots off the lead. So you would have thought it was highly unlikely that he got it done. But what's he do? 8-under 64. Scheffler wins the Players' Championship. So he was asked after getting the win what his mentality was 5 shots down heading into Sunday.
You know, I just wanted to get off to a good start on the front nine. I felt like if I could shoot a low round on the front nine, and put myself right into the tournament, that was really my goal. And, I was hoping to make some early birdies. And, I parred the first three, and then the hole out really got me going there on number four. And, I made some nice putts to close out the back nine. When I was looking at the leaderboard, I saw that they were starting, or Xander was starting at 17, Wyndham was starting at 16. And so, I needed some help, obviously, going into today if I wanted to win the tournament. And I felt like if I could go out and shoot a good round on the front nine, I could put myself in it as long as, one of them didn't shoot, 4 or 5 under on the front as well. And so the birdie on nine was huge, and, I was right in the tournament the whole back nine.
Do you pride yourself on your ability to close tournaments?
Yeah, I think that's why we put in all the work is to be able to finish off tournaments and to play well at the right time. And, going into days like today, it's nice coming out on top for sure. It's a great feeling.
So Scottie Scheffler wins back-to-back weeks. And as we spoke about in our last segment, we spent months last year on our show, earlier this season on our show, discussing Scottie Scheffler's putter. And Scheffler made the putter switch to the TaylorMade Spider model of putter. And look what he does. He wins back-to-back weeks. Here's Scheffler after winning on Sunday talking about what's changed the past couple of weeks.
Well, I don't feel like a ton has changed. I feel like I'm much more free in what I'm doing. I think I'm much more engaged in the process of things. I think Riviera was more of a effect from the week before. Put myself in position in Phoenix and not being able to make the putts on, late the back nine on Sunday. I had, bogey. I think I had a 3-putt there. I was in position to win that tournament. I was very frustrated not to be able to get it done. And so going into Riv, it was probably more the residual effects of that, the frustration. But really, Phil has done a really good job with me the last, 6 months or so, kind of keep my head in the right frame of mind. And we've been working really hard at it, trying not to work too hard at times. But it's really nice to see the fruits of all the work that we've put in. And, it's exciting to be sitting up here again.
And Scottie Scheffler, you may have noticed during the coverage on Friday, was uncomfortable health-wise. He was struggling with, it looked like, a neck issue, perhaps an upper back issue. There was the swing. A PGA Tour physiotherapist was out there on the 14th hole on Friday during his second round, really working on Scottie for what seemed to be 5 to 7 minutes. And Ted Scott, his caddy, said on Friday that he wasn't sure if Scheffler was going to continue. It was that bad. And clearly it just got better and better and better as the week went on. Here's Scheffler talking about his health and how it improved throughout the week.
When you were sitting on 14T on Friday, having the massage, could you have envisioned sitting in that chair right now?
Yeah, I think so. That's probably why I kept playing. I'd gotten off to a good start on, I played really good golf on Thursday. I made an early birdie. I think I was 200 through four on Friday. So I was right in the thick of the tournament, and all of a sudden, I get that pinch in my neck, and, I gutted out around there, getting it around in a few under par, keep myself in the tournament. Same thing Saturday. I said it before, when you get an acute injury like that, if you can wake up the next day feeling a little bit better or the exact same, it's a win. Usually morning after is worse the following day. And so woke up Saturday feeling a little bit better. Was able to hit some shots yesterday, but not many. And then today I woke up feeling fairly close to normal and went out there and had a good round of golf.
Scottie Scheffler certainly gutted out the Friday second round. Wasn't as uncomfortable on Saturday, and on Sunday, you could tell the KT tape on his neck and upper back. He was certainly more comfortable en route to winning the Players' Championship. When we come back here on GTC, Mark is going to join us. He mentioned he was walking with Wyndham Clark pretty much throughout the whole tournament. So we'll get Mark's perspective on Wyndham Clark, Xander Schauffele, Brian Harman, and of course, Rory McIlroy, another puzzling week, to say the least. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. Visit weathertech.ca.
Welcome back inside GTC. Adam Scully here in studio. Mark Sacchino rejoins us on the line. And Mark, one more just final thought on Scheffler. And I got to talk about his health again, because the fact that he played through an injury, the fact that his caddy said that he wasn't sure if Scheffler was going to play the weekend, just how impressive was it for you seeing video of Scheffler swinging? Because we know the swing is unconventional. We know some would say he's doing the ballerina every time he's taking a full swing, to gut out and play as well as he did, given how uncomfortable he looked on Friday.
Yeah, on Friday, there was this one tee shot that I saw the replay of where I have no idea how he made contact. I really don't. Already the most bizarre footwork, we have ever really seen on from any elite player in the history of the game. And then there was this one particular tee shot on Friday that, his feet were completely off the ground. I just don't know how you whiff it. You never teach it, Adam. You never go, okay, this is how – you never pull a junior aside and teach him how to do this stuff. But I think the one question in the press conference yesterday, last night, was, could you picture yourself on Friday afternoon when you were going through all that pain, could you picture yourself right here in this seat right now as the champion? And you said, yes, that's why I kept going. I thought I could win. I knew I was playing well enough to win. That's what forced me to – play through the pain. So he was right. He bet on himself. He should. And in the end, it's hard to argue that the best player in the world didn't win this championship.
I think at some point this summer, when you, Bob, and I are all in the same country, it may not happen very often, but when it does happen, I think we should set a camera up and we should all try to do the Scheffler two-step. How many of us, Mark, yes, do you think will fall flat in our faces?
Oh, I got to think all three of us are going to potentially fall, look like idiots. And you know how you and I last week were walking through Rory McIlroy's golf swing and how we can break it down, mm-hmm, and do it for our television audience and our social media audience and try to explain why he has issues with short irons and why things work off the tee, usually, I should say. We cannot do that for Scottie Scheffler. Do not ask me to walk you through Scottie Scheffler's golf swing.
Yeah. It's there's so many different facets of it, but the way he's able to hit it in the middle of the face every time, especially with the driver, the driving accuracy was crazy. Led the field in driving accuracy. The first time he's ever done that in his career. He switched to the TaylorMade QI10 model of driver too, from Stealth 2. It took him a couple extra weeks to do that, but boy, oh boy, he certainly had it on a string. So Scottie Scheffler wins the Players Championship. But let's get into some of the notables, because there were three great names who finished just one shot back: Brian Harman, Xander Schauffele, and of course Wyndham Clark, who looked like he had one hand on the trophy through 36 holes. That lead he built up, he looked pretty robotic out there. He looked really good. Before we discuss Wyndham Clark, let's hear Wyndham Clark's perspective on that wild lip out on the 72nd hole.
It was coming with some speed too. I don't know how that putt doesn't go in. It was kind of right center with, I feel like, a foot to go, and I knew it was going to keep breaking, but it had speed, and thought I was going to go inside left, and then even when it kind of seemed to lip, I thought it would lip in. So, I mean, I'm pretty gutted it didn't go in. I just played back-to-back weeks on two pretty challenging golf courses that I traditionally haven't done very well on, and just went second and second. So, I'll take those positives. I played awesome in both weeks. And I'll also take that I can play in the moment, in any moment, against the best players in the world on the best golf courses. I mean, I almost birdied the last three at one of the most iconic golf courses. So, maybe next week sometime I'll really be able to look at those positives and feel good about it. But right now I'm pretty down.
Yeah, that lip out was crazy. Mark, where were you for that lip out? Where were you? Where were you standing? Were you on the green? Were you close to it?
I was behind the green in the player walkway, exiting the back of the green. I was calling it. I was with Wyndham again for 4 days. I called almost every shot he had, and I just yelled at the top. Obviously in radio, we've got to talk through the crowd. We don't have the benefit of images like TV, where you can back off and everyone can see what's happening. So in the fairness of being completely descriptive, I just yelled cruelty. I said, cruelty, cruelty, this game can be so unfair. That ball was in the hole. And I think from all the players, I think Brian Harman and Wyndham Clark, I think, can kind of hold their head high in this one a little bit more so than say, Xander. It is really hard to lead. He had a four-shot lead after 2 days. He was kind of playing from the top of the leaderboard. It's tough to do. Only players with the names of Scottie Scheffler and Tiger Woods and certain kind of players in that caliber seem to be able to do those types of things. Most players feel uncomfortable. They've got the lead for 4 days and just can't seem to deal with it. His putter went cold, but boy, did he really make a push down the stretch. Unlucky to not make it at 16 and 18 yesterday. I don't know about you, Adam. I think the one that leaves with the poorest taste in their mouth is Xander Schauffele, who has not won a golf tournament on the PGA Tour since the 2022 Scottish Open. And I will say this about Xander Schauffele. Karma is a you-know-what. Because earlier last week, yeah. Xander Schauffele said, if I win the Players' Championship, it will not change my life. He downplayed the significance of the Players' Championship. And you know what? I'd like to hear how Xander's feeling this morning.
I wasn't thinking about that. I was more thinking about how potentially awkward the trophy exchange would have been with Commissioner Jay Monahan and Xander Schauffele, given Schauffele's remarks about Monahan last week, too. But one more question about Wyndham Clark. Here's a guy who won the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. I know it was shortened to 54 holes, but he still won the thing. And the last 2 weeks, two signature events, finishes in second in both of them. What's your outlook now on Wyndham Clark heading into the rest of the major season, beginning at the Masters in 3 weeks.
I think it's really good, and he has an innate ability to do something that that Jack Nicklaus used to do. Like, Jack Nicklaus very rarely ever hit a draw. He was primarily a left-to-right ball flight. It's not that Jack couldn't do it. Jack just leaned on the cut a lot, and he won 6 green jackets moving it left to right on a golf course that primarily wants you to move the golf ball right to left. Martin Kaymer, when he was number one in the world, he completely ripped apart his golf swing because he hit a left-to-right fader, and he wanted to win the Masters, and he didn't think he could win the Masters unless he rebuilt his golf swing to primarily hit a draw. And then Martin Kaymer was really never to be heard of again, certainly not at the same level as he was when he made that choice. Wyndham Clark yesterday on holes like 16, on holes 18, where, I mean, they just don't fit his eye at all, Adam. The 18th hole at Pebble Beach, he hit it over Carmel Bay and ripped it back into the fairway and eventually went on to birdie the last hole, shoot a record score of 60 and win the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. If he can squeeze a left-to-right ball flight in all those right-to-left par fives and holes at Sawgrass, then one would believe that he's got a game plan to do the same thing at Augusta, that he can do what Jack did all those years, is figure out a way to squeeze a left-to-right ball flight. And maybe, you know what, here's the other thing, too. He's got so many gears, Scully, he hits it so far, that he has other options. Look at what he did at 18 last night. He didn't hit driver. He got up there with his, you know, his long, I think it was like a 3-iron or a driving iron, and just ripped it down the middle. So I think he's got to be on our radar the rest of the way moving forward when you look at the events this guy's won. 3 events in the last year and a bit. Wells Fargo, huge event, tough golf course. U.S. Open, major championship. AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, signature event, PGA Tour. The seconds at API, signature. The second at the Players. At big events, Clark shows up.
Shows up in a big way, and it's hard to believe this time last year, Wyndham Clark was playing in an opposite field event, and now he is one of the top players in the world, full stop. Okay, you mentioned Xander Schauffele a little earlier. Let's hear from Xander Schauffele after finishing one shot short at the Players.
Yeah, I'm gonna lick my wounds. I'll probably join him in the hater raid at this moment, but it is what it is, you know. These suck, you know. When I went to bed last night, it's not exactly how I envisioned walking off the 18th green. So, lick my wounds, and I'm playing next week. So, just right back to it.
That's Xander Schauffele talking about some of the hate from people on social media, perhaps calling him someone who can't get it done on Sunday. But something that really stood out to me, Mark, is, you know, it's been pretty public now that Xander is working with swing coach Chris Como, and he was on the driving range for basically until dark on Saturday after the third round. So in my perspective, he's playing a little too much golf swing instead of just playing golf, because he's trying to implement these changes. And there were some misses, especially on that back nine when the pressure was highest, when you could hear Xander on the broadcast say, just hit it in the middle of the club face. What did you see from Xander on Sunday?
Yeah, I think you're bang on all that, Adam. I think I'd agree with all that. And the other sign, he's a deliberate player to begin with. I understand that. But his cadence was different as we got closer to winning this championship. A little slower, not as committed, to your point. Interesting, you know, he's worked with his dad so much his entire life. You wonder how much his father's even involved anymore. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm shocked he's playing this week. Are you surprised he's making his way over to the Valspar? Because I'm shocked.
Yeah, I'm very shocked, because Patrick Cantlay withdrew yesterday after he finished his round at the Players' Championship. And the Valspar, actually a pretty solid field, to say the least, after a couple of huge events. We'll have a full preview of the Valspar on Wednesday's show, and we'll also have our PGA Tour picks as well, both on television tomorrow and Wednesday, and on radio on Wednesday, too. Another player also in the field, also surprised about this, too, is Brian Harman. He won the Open last year. He's playing in the Valspar this week. He came one shot short, just just missed his birdie on the 72nd hole. Let's hear now from Brian Harman shortly after missing on 18.
Just needed a couple more, missed a couple short putts to start. I had my chances, just didn't cash in. 400 today, proud of the way I fought back. You know, birdies 7, 8, 9, and then birdie on 11, birdie on 15 to get within one. I wish I could have the drive on 16 back. Wish I could have the putt on 18 back. Really thought that wedge shot on 18 was going to nest up there close, but it's just how it goes.
Really did seem that Brian Harman perhaps got a little unlucky, Mark, with the approach he hit into 18. He was from the pine straw. Looked like he had a bit of a window. Ball took one bounce on the green and stopped on a dime instead of going forward. But anyway, looking ahead now, Brian Harman won the Open last year, one shot short here at the Players. What's your perspective for Harman heading into the majors this year as well?
Well, you know, I think Brian Harman, we're going to pick our spots. And TPC Sawgrass is a golf course where, you know, the longest bombers in the game don't necessarily win. I mean, it's a golf course where all different players win. That's the beauty of TPC Sawgrass. We've seen short hitters like Frederick Funk do well. And then we've seen, you know, guys like Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler. And, you know, we've seen bombers do well. So I think this week, this is a perfect golf course for Brian Harman over at Copperhead. Short by modern day standards, a golf course you play backwards from green. Bit of a plotter's golf course, very much like Hilton Head and Sawgrass to a certain extent. The one concern I would have for Brian Harman this week is, does he have anything in the tank, Adam? Does he have anything left for us? That was a big 4 days for him. So does he have momentum coming to the Valspar, or is he exhausted coming to the Valspar? That's the question you got to ask yourself. Depending on what side of that line you fall on, is the reason why you would have him or not have him this week.
And right now, looking at the odds on FanDuel for the Valspar, Brian Harman plus 2,500, 25-1 right now. And as we speak, Xander Schauffele, the betting favorite at plus 800 or 8-1 right now on FanDuel. Now, before we wrap and go to break, we got to talk about Rory McIlroy, because here's a guy who 10 birdies in the first round. There was the interesting drop situations, which we are going to take a deep dive into, by the way, in Winners Weird and What, because that was awkward. But Mark, for you overall, what did you think about Rory McIlroy? Another week of mediocrity, wasn't it?
Well, it's another week, too, where he looks like he's spaced out, right? I love Rory. I mean, he's so genuine. He's so thoughtful in his talk and his answers. He's going to come up again in Winners Weird or What, not with just that drop area, but also some of his comments this week, which I found were very interesting. But I said to you and Bob, I remember bringing this up about a month ago, I think, Adam, for the first time, maybe a little bit more, just over a month ago, that I think Rory's got major concentration issues. I would never use the word grinder attached to Rory's name. It looks to me like there's a focus issue, a lack of concentration issue, and certain, at times aloof, is a word or term I would use. And players who are thinking well, players who are concentrating and thinking correctly, don't make three doubles, bogeys, heading into the final round. I mean, you're either three or four double bogeys this week, Adam. This is arguably the most talented golfer on the planet. You know, it's either him or, you know, Scottie Scheffler is the best golfer on the planet, but I'm just talking raw natural ability. It's likely him and Scottie right now. I mean, how do you make those many double bogeys? That is a problem with the 6 inches between the ears and nothing else. Are you seeing what I'm seeing with this kind of spaced out version of Rory McIlroy?
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it. And it's just the mistakes he's making are weird and, you know, on Wednesday when we were radio to TV for the first time in 2024, We talked about how Rory was honest about his feels swinging, how the driver feel he has is great with the driver, but with his irons, he's hitting this wicked pull hook, and how he spent 5 hours on the range last Monday with a TrackMan, grinding with his caddy, with some reps from TaylorMade too, trying to dial in the equipment. Something definitely isn't right. I'm not sure if worried is the right word from my perspective. He does have a win this season already. That is on the DP World Tour, but it's been a lot of MIA for Rory on the PGA Tour so far. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, we'll wrap up hour one and we'll tee up hour two right here on GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, home to 80 great courses, 60 miles of sandy shores, endless dining and entertainment. Visit PlayGolfMyrtleBeach.com to start planning your golf trip today.
Wrapping up hour one here on GTC, Adam Scully here in studio. Mark will be back for the entirety of hour two. And coming up on the second hour here on GTC, we'll have Winners, Weird, and What. Another interesting week in the world of golf, both on and off the golf course, to say the least. We're also going to hear Bob's conversation with PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan. Bob went one-on-one with Jay late last week. You'll be able to see that on television as well. That's tomorrow night and Wednesday throughout the day on TSN. But we'll kick off hour two, Mark rejoining the show, and we're going to hear from all three Canadians who made the cut at the Players Championship: Corey Connors, Nick Taylor, and Mackenzie Hughes. All that, so much more coming up in hour two right here on GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, the golf capital of the world. Thank you for listening to hour one of GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit GolfTalkCanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network. This is Hour 2 of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. Why Picton Mahoney? Visit PictonMahoney.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Welcome back inside GTC. Hour two, the back nine here on the show. Adam Scully here in studio. Mark Sacchino on the phone. Bob Weeks traveling home from the Players as we speak. He'll be back with us both on television and radio first tomorrow night and then throughout the day on Wednesday as well. Well, Mark, we had three Canadians who made the cut at the Players Championship: Corey Connors, Nick Taylor, and Mackenzie Hughes. Let's start with Corey Connors. A T13 finish, rounds of 68, 68, 73, 68. What was your overall thought on Corey Connors' week as a whole at the Players Championship?
I think the one bad round got him, Skulls. I think overall he's showing progress in the right direction. His ball striking numbers were really good coming into this week. It was the putter that kind of, you know, let him down coming into the Players Championship, but I think Corey's coming into a stretch now. We're going to head to Texas. We're going to head to Augusta. He plays Augusta well. He plays Valero well. I think we're coming into a part of the schedule where, you know, he might really feel comfortable in strike again. Who knows? I think it was a really, was it Saturday, Adam, was the stumble for Corey? I think he just liked to take that one day back. And you could likely say the same thing for Nick Taylor. I think if there's one Canadian this week that's more disappointed than anybody else, it would likely be Nick Taylor. And that's just because the standard for Nick is maybe a little higher right now. And this isn't just from us, but it would be from Nick and his team as well. He was in position to win this golf tournament. He was in position to remain in the final group or penultimate group throughout the weekend. And he stumbled on Saturday. So I think from a Canadian perspective, those are probably the especially Nick, probably more disappointed than anybody else. But from a Corey Connors, I think, again, we're heading in the right direction. I mean, he's hitting it off the dime. Are we going to get 4 days where everything lines up, including the putter? That will be the question.
That'll be the question for sure for Corey Connors, who finishes T13 at the Players' Championship. And it is his best finish of 2024 so far, 2024 for Corey Connors at T13 at the Players' Championship. And after he finished his final round at TPC Sawgrass, he went one-on-one with Bob. Let's hear Corey Connors speaking with Bob.
All right, Corey Connors, let's deal with today's round first off. And how did you feel about that one?
Yeah, it was a lot, you know, more of a typical round, you know, that I like to have. I drove the ball well, kept myself out of trouble for the most part, and yeah, it was solid. I gave myself some great chances early, wasn't able to roll the putts in, but, you know, stayed patient and, you know, happy with the day overall.
Sum up the week for us. How do you feel about it? I know there was the bad round on Saturday, but sum it all up as a total.
Yeah, definitely a lot of positives. I do feel really good about my game. You know, certainly a disappointing round on Saturday in the third round to put me out of contention. You know, but yeah, if I take that out and, you know, play like I played the other days, I feel like I'm right there hanging in there the mix. So lots of positives still to take away, and, you know, happy to finish it off with a solid day today.
You've got a couple of big tournaments coming up on your schedule in Texas where you're going to defend, and then on to Augusta National. How do you prepare for those two back-to-back?
Yeah, both places that I love very much, and I'm really excited to get back to San Antonio, and, you know, always excited to get to Augusta. So we've got a few weeks off at home, you know, continue to sharpen up the game, you know, work on everything and make sure everything is where I want it to be going in into those two events.
When you're off and a week off, do you take a peek at where the standings are for both President's Cup, for world rankings, for Olympics?
I think my wife will, but probably not me. I think, I'm just going to keep putting in the work and see what happens.
All right. Good luck on the Texas.
Thank you.
That's Bob with Corey Connors, and getting to Nick Taylor now. Nick Taylor is now 24th in the official world golf rankings. And I know, Mark, he didn't have the weekend he was hoping for, finishing T26. But in my mind, this is a good thing as we look ahead, because in years past, we would have thought, hey, T26 for Nick Taylor, that's a pretty good week. But he's got to be disappointed with the way he played over the weekend, which is a good thing given how well he has already played in the last 10 months or so.
Yeah, isn't perspective interesting, Adam? And just quickly before we close the door on Corey Connors, he was 25th in strokes gained putting this week. So, yeah, the bad round on Saturday, but the putter is showing signs of life. And overall, a very decent week with the putter, just one round. He struggled off the tee a little bit, and it bit him. But as far as Nick's concerned, I'm with you. I mean, perspective's everything. A year ago, we would have been, maybe 2 years ago especially, we would have been saying, wow, you know, 26, what a nice week for Nick Taylor. And here we are, you know, year and a half, 2 years later, going, what a weekend he'd like to have back, a tournament he could have won, blah, blah, blah. So everything's interesting. You know, the putter is still solid. The ball striking is still solid. I mean, he had a rough week, especially on the weekend. He had some big mistakes. 76 on Saturday really hurt him. Strokes gained around the green were a problem for Nick Taylor this week. I think that is an outlier. I don't anticipate that to continue. I am very high on Nick Taylor's short game. I think he just had a bad week. You know, he gave away over three shots to the field in strokes gained around the green, was just not getting up and down the way he usually does. And that at times around this golf course is very similar to Augusta National. It's not necessarily sometimes a statement on your short game. Often it's a statement on where you've left it. There are just spots around this golf course where you get it on the wrong side of a mound, wrong side of a hole. This rough was super, super thick, and it was often down to luck. You could hit it in the thick hay and have a lie, and a guy could hit it in the same spot one hole later and be 12 inches in the opposite direction and have no shot. So I think this is a one-off. I don't anticipate this game issue for Nick moving forward. I think he'll get right back on track immediately.
Rounds of 66, 68, 76, 70 for Nick Taylor. And after his final round, he went one-on-one with Bob.
All right, Nick Taylor, can you sum up Sunday's round before we sum up the entire week?
Yeah, it was a little scrappy today. Made some good pars, kind of middle of the round. 200 is a decent score out here. I would have liked to grab one coming in probably in the last at least 16. I kind of had a three-putt there from long distance, but you're happy with par on 17. And I actually hit two good shots in 18, just didn't make the putt. But overall, pretty solid day. Yesterday's kind of got me.
Let's deal with the big picture of the four rounds. Are you pleased with three of them? Is that how you'd look at it?
Yeah, certainly. You know, three rounds were good. Essentially the first 10 holes yesterday that lost me the tournament, but turned a obviously a great week into a decent week. So, I'll forget about it. I've had a few tournaments this year. I've had one kind of not great round, but I've had a lot of great golf. So I'm just going to focus on that.
I have to ask you what part of your game you'd like to sharpen up and what part of your game you're most pleased with. As you leave here, what would they be?
You know, interesting enough, the stats this week around the greens was pretty poor. But, you know, when I look at it, there's more context to that. Out here, I swung pretty freely with the driver in a lot of holes where visually it's pretty intimidating. That I'm working on. It's definitely showing signs of being really good. But putter was solid. Wedge game was really good. So there's still a lot of good stuff.
And you're off to Valspar next week. How are you feeling about that going in now with where your game is?
Yeah, I've had a good result there last year. I've had good tournaments there, so I like that golf course. It's tough again, so a couple days of rest will be nice after a couple grueling weeks. Not that next week's easy by any means, but a couple days of rest will be nice.
And then gear up for Augusta National. You looking forward to that one?
Yeah, very much so. So I'll get there a little earlier than normal, but take my time there and try to soak it up for a few days. But looking forward to that one for sure.
Thanks for your time this week.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Nick Taylor opening right now at plus 3,500 on FanDuel for the Valspar. This week, something tells me that Nick Taylor will be a part of our PGA Tour picks for the Valspar this week. Okay, the final Canadian who made the cut, 3 of 7 did make the cut, Mackenzie Hughes. And Mark, it's been a lot of either pretty good results for Mackenzie Hughes or inconsistency. He does have three top 30 finishes now in 2024. Where do you think Mac goes from here?
Interesting, Adam. Just quickly before we get to Mackenzie Hughes, I don't know if you picked that up in Nick Taylor's interview with Bob. That's the first time I heard that. He said, hey, listen, my stats around the greens don't look so good this week, but there's more context to that. I think that's Nick is saying exactly what I just said to you, is that there are just some weird lucky spots where you can't hit it and miss it, and there's more to it than just a short game. So that tells me that Nick Taylor feels exactly the way I suggested he feels. A short game, there's nothing wrong with it. He's got to just miss it in better spots when he's going to miss it and take lady luck out of the equation. So I think you're right. Maybe Nick Taylor should be on our radar this week at the Valspar. As far as Mackenzie goes, man, is this one hard to figure out, Adam? Like, it just, there's no rhyme nor reason. Like, I can't decipher, you know, when he's going to have a good week, why he's going to have a good week. I mean, he was struggling off the tee there for a big stretch of golf. This week, 5th in strokes gained off the tee. Okay, now, is this a golf course where you don't have to pound driver? Yes. But, you know, I didn't expect him to be, you know, 5th, top 5 in strokes gained off the tee. Then you go to putting, and normally when Mackenzie Hughes has a good week on the PGA Tour, when Mackenzie Hughes wins a golf tournament on the PGA Tour, putting is a huge asset for Mackenzie Hughes, right? We can kind of agree that you know, outside of maybe, you know, Jordan Spieth and Wyndham Clark and a couple other guys, that no one really makes more putts that they necessarily shouldn't make than Mackenzie Hughes. It was -3 strokes gained putting this week, 64. He gave 3 shots away the field with the flat stick, yet managed to have one of his better performances of the year. None of it adds up. I'm so confused. Can you, like, help me make sense of this stuff?
It's tough, and maybe that's a good thing going forward, because here's a guy who's been, in years past anyway, as you mentioned, the putting has been the strength of his game. So if he can marry those two together, now I'm not sure about Valspar in regards to having, you know, a good driving week, because it's a shorter golf course where iron play is at a premium at Valspar. But hey, Mackenzie Hughes, look out here for the next couple of weeks. It's nice to see him playing better golf for sure. T26 at the Players Championship. For a full recap on Max Week, he spoke with Bob also after he finished his final round.
All right, Mac, kind of a solid round out there, I would say, especially 11 and 12. So two nice holes there with a birdie eagle. But tell us how you felt about the day as a whole.
Yeah, I felt a bit like a continuation of the last few rounds. I felt like I was in pretty good control off the tee. Gave myself lots of looks, and again, it was kind of one of those days where I felt like if I got the putter going just a bit better, I was a bit hotter with the putter. It's one of those days where you shoot, you know, 5 or 6 pretty easily, and I still feel great about the day. It's just, again, you kind of rue some of the chances that you missed, and but overall, yeah, pleased with the game and excited about the next couple weeks.
As you leave here, what do you take with you in terms of specifics that you're really happy about, and maybe a couple things that you'd like to just sharpen up a touch?
Yeah, driving was spectacular this week. I was towards the top of the field with driving, which to me is a huge sign and a great sign I'm doing the right things. And if I can do that a little more often, I think that's going to make the rest of the game a lot easier for me. And you know, the iron play was was adequate, but not great. So that's something I'll look at next week to kind of tidy up and find some new feels. And then, you know, I haven't putted great this year, and that's been something that's been lacking. And if I kind of get that figured out for next week, I can kind of get myself up there. But yeah, I think the iron play, tidying up that a little bit, and then, you know, just kind of back to the basics with putting for me. I feel like I'm not far off, but need to kind of get back to what I do best.
This year has a lot riding on it with the President's Cup, with the Olympics. Do you think after a tournament like this, do you go and look and see where you are and where you're standing and what you need to do? And do you plan yourself out, or do you just sort of let it happen?
Yeah, I just kind of let it happen. I feel like you can kind of get caught up in that if you think about it too much. And thinking about where I need to be, you know, in March when the President's Cup's in September, it's just too much. So there's just so much golf between now and then. I'm encouraged that if I can kind of stay on this path, and I feel like I'm, you know, going to put myself in a position where I can be on that team. But it's a long way away. A lot of things have happened between now and then. So kind of for now, it's just kind of day by day. How can I get better?
Next week off to Valspar. How do you like that course?
I like it. I mean, it's not a difficult golf course. I mean, you go around that course and you kind of shoot 2-3 under par, and it's a great round. So you feel like, you know, kind of through the Florida swing, you kind of get tested a fair bit, and the Valspar is no different. So I'm excited about going there and kind of putting my game to the test again.
All right, good luck next week.
All right, thanks, Bob.
That's Bob with Mackenzie Hughes. A good week there for Mac, and as he mentioned, if he can figure out the putting, I think Mackenzie Hughes could be a value play this week at 150-1. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, Bob going one-on-one with PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan. Looking forward to hearing this one, because there is a lot going on in the world of golf right now. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. To learn more about their award-winning golf course and growing community, visit CobbleBeach.com today.
Looking forward to getting up to Cobble Beach, hopefully sometime in the spring, and checking out what a great location it is. Well, last Tuesday, PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan spoke to the media for about an hour about everything going on both on and off the golf course, and it got pretty spicy at times, we'll say that. Well, later in the week, Bob had a chance to speak with Jay Monahan about all things going on right now on the PGA Tour. Let's hear that interview.
Commissioner Jay Monahan, thank you for giving us some time. To start off, this is the 50th anniversary of the Players' Championship. Where do you think this tournament sits among the top events in golf?
Well, I think it certainly sits up there amongst the top events in golf. And, you know, ultimately, that is a, you know, the fans are the ones that judge. The players are the ones that judge. And we continue to do everything that we can to take what Dean Beaman and Pete Dye started 50 years ago, or over 50 years ago. And each year you see this event, you know, the overall experience, the 250,000 people that are here, the quality of the competition itself, it raises in stature. And we're really proud of what this event represents. It's the best of the PGA Tour. This is a field whose hallmark is its depth and its strength. You know, I'm just hoping that we have a great championship here over the next few days.
Last June 6th at the RBC Canadian Open, obviously a day that I'm sure everyone remembers, but the negotiations with the PGA Tour and the PIF were sort of revealed, I guess, or announced. Can you tell us where those are at this point?
We're continue to have discussions, and as I mentioned the other day, that's about all I can share, but I think fans should be encouraged by the fact that, you know, that those conversations continue to happen, and there's progress that's being made.
On a bigger scale, where is the game of golf, and where, more specifically, is the PGA Tour at this point?
The game of golf has never been hotter, never been cooler and more mainstream, and is growing at levels that, you know, we had not seen. If you go back to the start of COVID to where we are now, the fact that you saw in the U.S. The most rounds of golf played in history last year, you look at the fact that in North America, between there are more off-course participants in golf than there are on-course participants. There's so many different ways to access the game. There's so many different ways to showcase our stars. You see that with Netflix Full Swing. You see that with expanded hours of coverage. You see that with the investments that we're making back in the fans. The sport is well positioned to compete against any other sport that's operating. And because we're global, because we're a lifelong sport, and because we've got incredible athletes that are inspiring future generations. So that's where my focus is, and we're focusing on what we can control, and the tour continues to get stronger and stronger, and that's my commitment.
You go back to
last June, you know, the strength of the PGA Tour to me was fully represented on that Sunday afternoon when you look at what happened there. Not only Nick Taylor's forever putt, but I think one of the great moments of the year, and he may not agree with me, was Adam and the police officer. And you just don't know when these incredible moments, when hysteria is going to be created. But that's the beauty of what happens out here week in and week out. New stars emerge, and Canadian golf is the strongest it's ever been out here.
Well, speaking of that, of course, we're going to host the President's Cup, Royal Montreal, in September. Are you expecting big things?
I literally am expecting big things. I mean, it's, you know, we're there in 2007. It's the 30th anniversary of the President's Cup. I met with the team from Royal Montreal earlier this week. Their enthusiasm is palpable. I think the strength of the international squad, I mean, just look at statistically the trend lines. This will be the strongest, one of the strongest teams ever collected. I expect that we'll see a number of Canadians on that team. And the passion from Canadian golf fans, given the tribal nature of this event, I think will create an incredible experience. And I'm really excited to get up there and to see all the work that goes into it come on the world stage.
Usually I wrap this interview up every year by asking you for your Stanley Cup prediction. I'm going to change that just slightly. Can your Boston Bruins beat Keith Pelley's Toronto Maple Leafs?
They absolutely can.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Okay.
Wide-ranging interview there with PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan and our own Bob Weeks. Let's bring Mark Sacchino back into the conversation now. Mark, Bob asked Commish Jay Monahan about any update on the negotiations with the Public Investment Fund, etc. No real update there. Not a surprise. Obviously, it wasn't going to go too in-depth into that. But overall, what did you think of what the commissioner had to say?
Yeah, you know, he's not going to let us in at all, Adam, on, you know, how things are going. We're going to find out a lot more in the next few weeks. Big meeting today, which we'll get into in Winners Weird and What. I think part of the reason why the commissioner's holding so many cards close to his vest is, and I want to know your take on this, Adam. I think the reason, I'm just playing a hunch, and I'm just trying to put together little bits of information that have come out of the directors, players. I think the biggest hurdle right now between a deal between the Public Investment Fund and the PGA Tour are the players of the PGA Tour. I don't think they're on the same page as to what a deal looks like moving forward, how you allow players to come back without being penalized, how you make good on guys like a Rory McIlroy who never went. I think that internal argument right now amongst the player directors and the players, I mean, listen to the Rory comments versus the Jordan comments versus the Thomas comments versus the Scheffler comments. I mean, how do you appease 200 members or whatever the number is? I don't know. To me, biggest hurdle right now.
It's a huge hurdle. And like you mentioned, some players, Rory, appear to, you know, want some players back. And a lot of people, a lot of players are on the fence about that. They don't have they've lost trust in the commissioner. They say the commissioner has a long way to go. I'm really fascinated to see if anything comes out of this meeting that is reportedly going on, perhaps as we speak, with Yasser, who is apparently meeting with some of the players right now. I'm not 100% sure. I'm genuinely curious. But as we've said on this show before, and as we'll continue to say, this is a moving target. And all I would like personally is to have the best players in the world playing together more often, week in, week out. Let's hope that we're getting closer to that regardless. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, it's Winners, Weird, and What, and I'm expecting this to be a spicy one because there was a lot going on in the world of golf last week. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cadillac and the all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. From Lyric to the first ever Escalade IQ, there will be a Cadillac EV icon for you.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada. Adam Scully alongside Mark Sacchino. Bob Weeks will be back on television tomorrow evening and throughout the day on Wednesday, as well as radio, 10 a.m. right here on the TSN Radio Network. Okay, it's our favorite time of the show. It is Winners, Weird, and What. This week, Mark, you have the tea.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right, Scully, I got a weird winner this week. My winner is possibly one of the worst golf shots I've ever seen from a world-class player in my life with my own eyes. Saturday night, I'm standing at the Island Green calling Wyndham Clark, and he hits one of the fattest gap wedges or it was either a gap wedge or a sand wedge. Hit it as fat as I have ever seen a golf pro hit a fat shot. It finished 20 yards shy of the front edge of the green. You could have gotten up there and thrown it on the green easier. It was a horrible shot. Now, rumors swirling, and someone might have yelled in his backswing. They were kind of going back and forth with the caddy. I say, forget that. It was an awful swing. But the reason it's my winner, to have the nerve and the guts to then stand up there, say, I'm not going to the drop zone. Give me it here. This is the easier shot. Hit it inside 7 feet and make a four. Where a lot of guys, we saw Justin Rose make, you know, sevens and eight. We saw sevens and eights. I mean, you could have lost your tournament right there. He manned up and made a four. It kept him in the tournament, and he came one shot shy of winning. And I go back to that four and that bogey as being the reason why. Adam, how bad was the first one, and how impressive was the bogey?
It's such a good point because, you know, you watch these PGA Tour professionals play week in, week out. I watch it a lot on TV, obviously, and you rarely see a pro mishit any shot for that matter, but a sand wedge, a gap wedge, by that much. Like, Mark, that thing was, I don't know, 30 yards short maybe, but to have the you-know-whats to come back and hit the next shot to 6 feet or so, that was very impressive. But, Mark, would you say what was that, 30 yards short of the green?
Yeah, 30 yards short of the center, probably 20 yards shy of the front edge. I mean, not even close. Okay, we've alluded to this meeting. So Yasser going to meet with player directors today. Could be happening as we speak. Tiger Woods, Patrick Cantlay, Jordan Spieth, Adam Scott, Peter Malnati, and Webb Simpson as well, potentially Rory. But Rory's already spent some time with Yasser. Now, keep in mind, Adam, the comments over the last several years that Rory has had about the Saudi government, public investment fund, and his harshest comments towards LIV Golf. In fact, quoted as saying, if LIV Golf was the only option for me to play as a professional, that he would retire. And that's how much he disdains the LIV Golf product. Rory McIlroy suggested that his time with Yasser is fundamentally, he wants to do the right thing, he suggests. He also suggests, I've spent some time with Yasser and the people that surrounds him, and the people that have represented him in LIV, I think have done a great disservice, CEO Greg Norman and those guys. I actually think there's a bigger disconnect between the public investment fund and LIV than the public investment fund and, say, the PGA Tour and the rest of professional golf. I summarize the end. What Rory is saying here, Adam, is he thinks that there is a bigger disservice being done to the public investment fund from the LIV Golf Group and a bigger, wider disconnect between LIV and the public investment in, as there is to what the public investment really wants to accomplish in the professional game. I find these comments extremely, extremely mind-boggling. What is Rory doing? What has changed? The money that allows LIV to be the disruptor, the bully in the yard, the person shrinking the game, is the public investment fund. I mean, these comments to me are bizarre. They go beyond weird. They're bizarre. And he has created some type of psychological crutch, really, for himself, I believe, to paint LIV as the bad guys, which he always has, and paint PIF all of a sudden as another victim in this scenario. How do you digest this?
Wow. Okay. I hadn't actually heard those comments until you had summarized what Rory had said. We've talked before how we love Rory's honesty. This, I don't know. I'm actually kind of speechless about this. This is bizarre. This is how would there be a bigger disconnect between LIV and the PIF than the PGA Tour and the PIF? This actually doesn't make any sense to me, Mark. I'm not going to lie to you.
I mean, it doesn't sound constructive, because everything Rory says doesn't sound constructive. It sounds honest. and usually it is. This to me sounds a little bit more, there's an angle here, that he knows there's something coming, that he knows that he's had some issues with some of the other players in the top of the game trying to put this deal together that we alluded to in the previous segment, because painting the public investment fund and Yasser as people that are trying to do good work and are victims. And I'm summarizing here, but that is the tone of these comments and the suggestion. It's mind-boggling. And staying with Rory, he's also my what this week. Adam, we spoke about his golf swing and how his great feels are off the tee with the driver. And you and I have walked through mechanically why this works in long irons, fairway metals, driver, and why he struggles with the short irons and mid-irons and wedges at times, and the mechanical reasons as to why that happens. Well, he made a large bucket of double bogeys this week and mistakes. And most of them, Scully, off the tee. Are you kidding me? I don't know if I've ever seen this number beside Rory McIlroy's name before. Negative 0.688 strokes gained off the tee. He ranked 54th. This is a man who lives in the top five of strokes gained off the tee. Mind-boggling numbers from Rory this week, mind-boggling comments from Rory this week, and a mind-boggling result for Rory this week at the Players Championship. All right, Adam, that does it for me. The tee is yours, Skulls.
348. Oh, man, that is sweet.
Thanks for that, Mark. Okay, my winner this week goes to a moment that went a little viral, and that was on Thursday. Let's just say Canadian Adam Hadwin was running, a little hot when his tee shot on the 18th hole, actually, let's start things off, where his tee shot on the par 3 17th hole went in the water, the first time he's ever hit it in the water on the 17th hole, the iconic Island Green. Then he steps up to 18, gets a pretty lucky break that his ball didn't go in the water off the tee, had an awkward stance for his second shot, ball took a sharp turn left, and it went in the water. Then what went in the water next? Well, Mark, this was one of the best club throws, I don't know about you, but I've ever seen. I wish there was TrackMan on this. I wish we had the club tracker on this, the ball, the club flight, if you will, because this thing took off, and it took off in a big way. He really leaned in from his right side. The weight transition was great to his left. You could tell he was immediately embarrassed afterwards. Clearly the wires crossed, but Mark, was that perhaps the best club toss you've ever seen?
I used elegant as the word, Scully. It was the most elegant club toss I have ever seen. The form, sticking the follow through on the club toss, I mean, the transition from backswing to follow through, I mean, you could make a better move with a soft little saucer sand wedge. I mean, elegant club toss, five stars.
Five stars. And speaking of five stars, that's where really the number one reason this is my winner is that Adam Hadwin's wife, Jessica, took to Twitter, or X as we're calling it now, and she is a great follow on that account, we'll call it there, and she said, "I apparently missed a little moment on 18 where the club joined its bestie, the ball, so I cannot help you with commentary, but I'll be sure to ask as soon as the round ends what happened." So, I mean, clearly Adam Hadwin didn't have his best stuff, but that was one hell of a club toss, to say the least. Okay, Mark, you spent a lot of time talking about Rory McIlroy in your 3-dub. I have to add Rory to my 3-dub, too, and that is my weird, and that is, we'll call it Dropgate. Because on Thursday, Rory hit two balls into the water. He started on the back nine, so on his ninth hole, the 18th hole, ball goes in the water. There was a bit of a discussion about where McIlroy should drop. He dropped from about 285 yards, hit his 3-wood onto the green from there, made a really good five. Then he gets to the seventh hole, and his tee shot again went left. Rory was in the process of taking his drop where Jordan Spieth decided to walk on over. And I don't know about you, Mark, but this really got awkward to me. It didn't get, they weren't coming to blows by any means, but this just seemed a little strange. What did you make about Dropgate?
Yeah, you know, so I was on the sixth green at the time. Ludvig Åberg's group, I believe, was on the tee waiting to hit their tee shots on seven, and they couldn't because of Dropgate. I was on the sixth green with Nick Taylor, and we could hear, Nick and I could hear, like, kind of like the dialogue and the problem up there in the seventh fairway. I'd say we were about 120 yards from them, roughly, across the lake. I wonder, Adam, if this is boardroom. How's the best way of saying this? If this is being on a different page in a boardroom, or things that they are arguing about off course spilling into on course. I just wonder, because it felt a little uncomfortable. I know why Rory was so paranoid about the drop as well, getting it right. We could go back to what happened earlier in the year at Spyglass, where he had a lapse in concentration and cost himself a penalty with a bad drop at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. So, you know, the other part of this, Adam, that I find so bizarre, there's not a golf tournament on the planet that has more cameras, more coverage, whether it be cable TV, network TV, streaming properties, social media, than the Players Championship. How come one of these outlets couldn't have helped? There was zero assistance from TV. Do you not find that strange as well?
Certainly very strange. And even Spieth, you could hear him say, well, everything I'm hearing about this, and you could hear McIlroy's caddy say, well, who are these people you're hearing this from? And there were TV cameras right there, but how there was not sort of aerial or overhead view or track man from behind the tee box showing the ball flight for this drop. But something that I did find comical was when Golf Channel had their own Johnson Wagner, who's turning into one great broadcaster, I may add. He was pelting balls. I'm not sure if you saw this, Mark. He was throwing balls into the side of the hill where this drop was taken, and he would show where the golf ball would actually end up. And most of the time, it was right in the water. That was certainly must-see, but certainly just weird, and something just didn't seem very right about that. Okay, my what before we go to break here. Matt Fitzpatrick, and he's been struggling a little with his driver in particular. Now, here's a guy who used the stack system to rebuild his golf swing and his speed in particular. But in the last 8 months or so after winning at Harbortown, something was just off with his driver. He was missing it left a lot. And what did he realize? Well, he was getting his driver re-gripped. And the person regripping his driver said, hey, did you know you have a 4 gram weight in the grip of your driver? Mark, how on earth does this happen? This is a professional golfer, a major champion, doesn't realize there's a grip or there's a weight in his driver. He drove the ball really well this past week, had a really good finish too. But how does this happen to a pro golfer?
I have no idea. Who is Matt's manufacturer, Adam? I can't recall off the top of my head. Who's he with?
I believe it is Titleist.
I mean, Titleist, you know, obviously one of the most respected golf companies in the world. They've been out there forever. They've got trailer on site with Callaway and everybody else, including our friends at TaylorMade. They all got their tour vans. They all supposed to have the best of the best technicians in the world. Are you trying to tell me that either a Titleist technician or a golf professional at Matt Fitzpatrick's golf club randomly put on a grip with a 4 gram weight to counterbalance a driver? You know how much lighter that club's going to swing for one of the best players in the world? I mean, this is ridiculous. How do you not know about this? How do you not feel that almost immediately? That would confuse. Like, I could sit there, I can go up to our friends at TXG, now club champion. I can tell you, like, immediately if the club's heavy or lighter, lie angle. Like, I'm not a human lie loft machine and swing weight machine. I find this whole story bizarre at so many levels. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah, certainly a weird one for sure. But Fitzpatrick playing some good golf, had a good finish at the Players Championship. Fitzpatrick was solo fifth. Well, Mark, I know it's been a wild morning for you in terms of driving. You're on your way to Cabot Citrus Farm. So thanks for your time this morning, my friend. Looking forward to seeing you for television tomorrow night, and we'll learn all about Cabot Citrus Farms very soon as well. Thanks for your time, my friend.
Thanks, Skulls. Have a great day. We'll talk to you for TV tomorrow, brother.
Sounds good. That is the Z-Man on quite the road here as he continues with PGA Tour Live, PGA Tour Radio, and of course right here, us on GTC. Okay, well, we'll come back. We'll wrap up today's show. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cadillac's all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. Choose from a $750 credit with Flow or installation of a Level 2 home charging capability from Qmerit when you purchase or lease a new Cadillac Lyriq. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more.
Wrapping up today's episode of GTC, we are back tomorrow night on TSN as we recap the Players Championship and, of course, here again, 10 a.m. Wednesday across the TSN radio network. Congratulations to Scottie Scheffler for winning back-to-back weeks. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. And remember, the first good decision for the golf course always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more. Thank you for listening to GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television weekly on the TSN Television Network.